Thanks for coming in on a Tuesday. I appreciate it. What I'd like to do is just give a brief statement and then open it up for some questions, if there are any. I'd like to start off by just thanking Randy Lerner, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to come to Cleveland. You know, on my year off, when he came to visit me in Arizona, you know, he made a very compelling case to come in and try and help the organization. After talking with my wife, Kathy, we decided to do that. I referred to it as my last great adventure. And during the process, during these 3 years, I have to say I couldn't have asked any more from an owner than what Randy gave to me. He hired me to do a specific job, in some instances, be his surrogate at league meetings and different things, and he was very clear about that. Some of the things that most people didn't get to see, I saw firsthand, if not at our weekly lunches, our many, many talks, the passion he had for this city and this team. But as you all know, he was uncomfortable being out front. And so that's why he asked me to come. But I'll be forever grateful about having the opportunity. He forced me to challenge myself in areas of football that I had not been in before. Certainly the business side of this organization, the league meetings where I represented him with the other owners in privilege session. And it was a tremendous learning experience for me. And I think we did a lot of great things here. The tough part, and the part that I'll feel bad about, is for Randy, I wasn't able to help enough put a winning product on the field, at least enough yet. And he certainly deserved that. And that's really what I wanted. And while we fixed a number of things, that was one thing that we haven't been able to fix yet. Now, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I'll go into that a little bit later. But thanks again to Randy Lerner, a special guy, and I wish him nothing but the best moving forward after this time. Secondly, I'd like to congratulate Jimmy Haslam and his family and Joe Banner. Jimmy's a special person as well. I knew when he purchased the team that my role was going to change dramatically, because Jimmy wants to be more of a hands-on owner and do a lot of the things that I was asked to do by Randy. I've known Joe Banner for a long time. You know, when he and Jeffrey Lurie came in, and Jeffrey bought the Philadelphia Eagles, and Joe became the president there, and then my good friend Andy Reid became the coach there, we've been very close over the years. So Jimmy will bring a great enthusiasm. Those of you that have had a chance to talk with him, I'm sure most of you have, if not all. And right away you see what type of a person he is. He's out front. He's enthusiastic. He has a lot of energy. He wants this to be right. He wants this to go well. And he's committed to do that. And I don't think there have been many things in his life where he's committed to it that haven't happened. So I think it's a wonderful thing for the city of Cleveland and a great thing for the Browns organization. So congratulations to Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner. I want you to know this. In the past, there have been a few instances where people weren't sure if I was going to honor my contract, or, you know, the things we've talked about in the past and the rumors that would crop up on occasion. And I really want you to know, if you didn't believe me before, I want you to believe me now, that Kathy and I, our time in Cleveland has been special. You know, she is been very involved with Catholic Charities and MedWish and the things that she does at our own church, any number of things in the community that are kind of behind the scenes. And we made great friendships here, and I could say the same thing. It was always my intention to honor my contract, if not more. But this business, at times, things happen, and the sale of a football team certainly changes the dynamic, and it changed the dynamic for me. My time was shorter than I had hoped, but I understand what happened. So I just wish the people that are going to be here well, and I was always care about this place and how we've been treated since we've been here. It's been good. Lastly, before we get into questions, I just want to give a thank you to the people in the organization. When we change took place 3 years ago, we had to make some changes in the organization. This is a tremendous workforce here with the Cleveland Browns. There are people, if you're talking about sales, if you're talking about marketing, if you're talking about guest services, if you're talking about community resources, community relations, any department you're talking about in this building, you have people that care and are very good at their jobs and have been through some tough stuff. There have been a lot of change in this organization, and the veterans that have been through all those changes, they come to work every day with a smile on their face, and they're going hard to make it, to do their jobs well. And I always appreciate that about the people here. It's a good workforce. And my hope is that they will all be able to experience the joy of winning. And I really think that's going to happen. And they deserve it. So our time in Cleveland has been special. And we'll have great memories of this place. So, are there any questions?
Mike, are you going to stay for the end of the season?
Well, when Jimmy and I have talked about this, we talked about a transition period. And how that actually sorts itself out moving forward, I can't define it so much, Tom, right now. I want to feel like I'm contributing. I'm going to be, my emphasis is going to be in the football side of it. I don't have to do the business stuff anymore. If I can help one player be a little bit better this season, or one coach may be a little bit better, some of the things that I know how to do, and I feel like I'm contributing, then that could happen. So we're going to just take it a day at a time and see how it goes.
Do you leave here unfulfilled or disappointed that you weren't able to get done what you wanted to get done?
I think so. I think that's the one thing that as I said earlier, I so much wanted to put a product on the field and win some games for Randy Lerner that I feel, there'll be moments down the road where I'll look back and I said, shoot, that's the one thing that I feel real good about a lot of the other things we did. But, I wish we had won a few more games. And like I said, I believe now, you've seen the team play this year, you've seen the quarterback play, you know we're young, all those things. If we can keep that together, if they can stay together, there's going to be good times ahead.
Mike, because you had to handle so much, and you knew that day-to-day as an owner would proceed, did you ever, during the course of the 3 years, go to Randy and say, I understand this, but it's almost to the detriment now of the football team because of your expertise and your strength being on the football side?
Well, I had a lot of, early on, I had a lot of thoughts about those types of meetings, the budget, all that kind of stuff. But I was hired to do a job, and I was going to do it. I'm stubborn that way. That's the first thing. The second thing is my philosophy coming in, and I've talked to you about it before, was, as far as the head coach was concerned, is that I'm going to help him and support him, but I'm not going to be overbearing. And he's coaching the team. I'm not. And so I tried to balance that the best way I could. And I, to answer your question specifically, no, I never did go to Randy and say those things that you mentioned. I just said, and I'm stubborn enough to say, no, I'm going to get this all done and do it this way. And I tried to do it that way.
When Randy called you or talked to you the first time and said this is going to happen, but what was your initial reaction then that
this?
I'm sorry. What was your initial reaction, and then that where does this leave me, Mike Holmgren, or what did you?
No, I didn't say it. No. I remember distinctly. I was sitting on my deck in California, about ready to come back here. In fact, it was about a week before that, and he phoned me and said, you know, you might have to come back sooner, or I might have to come out there, or we should talk about this. To be honest with you, I was, you know, the initial thing was surprise. And, you know, not many of these transactions take place historically just before the start of the season. Normally, it's been my experience that they take place in March or something like that. So, I can honestly say I didn't think about where I fit into this whole thing in the beginning, because it was just a phone call, and that deserves a chance to sit down and hash through a bunch of stuff before I jumped to any conclusions. My initial reaction, I was just surprised.
Mike, did ever a point, Mike, where there was a credible job here for you with Jimmy?
I don't think so, Pat. I don't think so. I mean, quite honestly, it hasn't been talked about. And I understand that.
Mike, did you have taken the job if you knew that it could be sold within 3 years of doing it?
You know what? If it's okay with you guys during this thing, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals, you know. So there was no way. I wanted the job. It was an attractive job. I thought it'd be a wonderful challenge for me, and it was. I can't answer the question.
If the plan would have continued for the final 2 years, you would be able to execute it. Do you feel you would have accomplished what you set out to early when you said to make the city proud of the football team again?
I think we're close. I really do. I mean, we've been in every ball game this year, really, you could say. And you know, I think it's going to be okay now. You know, no one has a crystal ball with this, but the way I looked at it and the way I've talked to you about it, you know, Eric was here the 1 year, and this is really Pat's second year, and you throw in the given the change that we've had, how young we are and stuff, and you throw in the lockout a little bit, which probably skewed things just a little bit. It's still very early in some sort of development program, but I think we've had good drafts, and Tom's done a great job in the draft. And the question was, have we found our quarterback? If you feel okay about that, any of us, then you say, okay, now you got a chance to do this. And I think we have.
Mike, because you know Jimmy a little bit and you know Joe pretty well, do you think it might be best for you not to be here? Just because they're going to want to put their own things in place and, you know, you might be in the way?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that, Tom, honestly. I've talked to Jimmy a lot about this. And he has my assurance. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to get anybody's way that way. You know, I still have my office. I got my lunch ticket. My parking space still. So the way I presented it to Jimmy, and he's been great about it. And Joe and I talked a little bit when he was in here, but not about this. We'll talk when he comes in this week. I think I can help a little bit, but if it gets cumbersome or uncomfortable for anybody, then heck, I don't want that to happen.
Or will you a pitch about keeping Tom and Pat after the season?
I haven't talked to Joe about it. I've talked to Jimmy about it a fair amount. Not so much keeping them, just trying to talked to him about, and he's very open. Jimmy, as you know, as you might know, you know, he has asked a million questions. He wants to learn. And we have talked about both those men, but we talk about a lot of stuff. And then it's up to him, it's up to them now to decide what they're going to do. I think he's been very clear, from as much as I can tell, how he plans to handle this. He's going to wait until the end of the season and then decide on a bunch of stuff. Both Pat and Tom, they know how – Jimmy knows what I feel about them. And, you know, I don't think you can get a better general manager, in my own opinion, than Tom Ecker. I think he's tremendous. Hardworking guy, great personality, knows the college players, knows how to put a winning team together. He's very, very good. And Pat is – you know, a bright young coach. He hates it when I call him young. A bright new coach who has had to go through some stuff that, as I said, not many of us had to go through when we were starting out. And I believe in him as well. So, I talk about that type of thing with Jimmy all the time.
If you don't get to see through Tom and Pat, I mean, you brought him here, and obviously it's not your fault that they went through, but how would you handle that personally?
Well, you can't stay in this business for very long, and this is a business for adults and grown-ups, you know. If you're too sensitive about stuff that goes on, then you probably should be doing something else, because change does take place. When there is change, particularly new ownership, there's a lot of things going through people's mind on how to set up a team or how to set up the. I think that the value or the advantage that we have now is Joe knows those guys. They work together. Joe and Tom worked together a long time. Joe and Pat was at Philadelphia. They know one another. And I believe Joe said last week he likes them all. I mean, he respects them all and likes them all. So, but they'll be judged. The judgment comes after the season's over, and they sit down and decide how they want to do it.
Mike, can you, Dave, I think you had mentioned the Seattle experience. You know, you it took away your GM title and all that stuff. This is a chance to show that you are more than a good coach.
Thank you.
But so now, how do you think you will be recognized? And when you look at 10-29.
Well, that was not very good, you know. But, you know, I know what we tried to do, and I know how we foundationally were trying to build the team. That I know. Philosophically, I wouldn't change that. You know, I wouldn't. I think that's the way you build a team, and if you have time to do it. But, you know, no, I don't. The record speaks for itself, and I think ultimately people are judged on how many games you win. But there's a lot more that goes into, as I learned, a lot more that goes into an organization than that, although that's the thing people look at. There's some things I feel very, very good about what we did here. We didn't win enough games, though. We did not win enough games. But I'm hoping the table is set. I'm hoping the table is set for the future.
In retrospect, well, there's 3 years as it turned out to be, or five that you're supposed to have been. Did you waste a year on keeping Eric?
You know what? I don't think so. I've been asked that before. I don't think so. I think when I made the decision to keep Eric, I thought a lot about that. I just felt it wasn't fair to give a guy only 1 year. I don't think that's fair. And hopefully I'll always make my decisions, any decisions I make, whether it's as president of the Browns or disciplining my children or whatever, with a sense of fairness mixed in there. And it was a big decision, but Eric's a good man. He is a good man. And I just didn't think it was right just to have him have 1 year. So that's why I did it.
Mike, with your success with the quarterback position, going back to your youth as a young coach in the league, would you say that the acquisitions of Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace, the drafting of Colt McCoy, if we can look at something singularly from the football side, was your imprint heavier handed on that position and those guys I just mentioned?
I don't think, I think that's a very good question and it's fair. I don't think my imprint was any heavier. I don't think Tom Hackert is our general manager, and he, along with the head coach, and then I have some input, but really those two guys, they're going to make football decisions, personnel decisions for the most part. Each one of those quarterbacks, and teams, I'd gone through that before. You know, you experiment, you take chances, you hope, and then you find the guy, and then you go. In our case here, when I first got here, I was fairly certain that the quarterbacks here, I wasn't the Lone Ranger, but the quarterbacks who were here probably couldn't get it done for you. That's what the feeling was. So then we were without a quarterback. We had no quarterbacks. So we thought it was important that we get a veteran, Jake Delhomme. We signed him. Started off, well, if you remember in the preseason, everyone was very happy with how Jake was doing. Then, unfortunately, he got hurt in the first game or second game or whatever, he got hurt. Seneca Wallace, I thought we did that because he had been with me. He was familiar. I was familiar with him, more familiar. And as a backup quarterback, I thought he was as good as you could get in the league because of his running ability. He throws the ball very well. So that's what went into that. We were going to draft a quarterback every year as long as I was here and Tom was here. Where on the draft, we weren't sure. But that's how we did it with Colt. When, if you remember, he came in, we had him there. He was the third round. Wasn't a first round pick, but a third round pick. So we said, let's go. And Colt had some really nice moments on the field. And then now we're here with Weed. So every one of those quarterbacks had a story. I contributed to the selection. But I wasn't, I was just probably a smaller part of that.
There's something about a fourth and one call, third and one call, different things with the head coach. There's been some awkward moments with the media. Could you just assess how he's doing?
I think, well, fortunately, I never made a bad call. And I never had awkward moments with the media. I think it's part of being a new coach, new head coach, Pat. I do. And I think... I think every head coach has to come to grips with this at some point. Otherwise, it's too hard. That I have to recognize, or the coach has to recognize, that you guys have a job to do. And I'm asking you to recognize that I have a job to do. And let's work together. You have to. I think that's the best way to do it. That you cannot condescend to you guys. At the same time, you're asking for the coach is asking for reliability and a certain honesty from you guys. Once you get there, and when you get there, then it's good. And when you're winning, it's kind of easier and stuff like that. When you're losing, but that has to happen. Now, I'm not in the press conferences. I rarely see them. I don't do that. I know that Pat is an honest guy. He has a little bit of an Irish temper. He wants to do the right stuff. He really does. But there's a learning curve there, I think, for everybody, I think. I think it's both sides are learning about each other. As far as the calls and stuff like that, you cannot be a head coach in this league or a head coach anywhere and be too sensitive to that. You just can't be. Because it's going to happen. It happens. Close games, and we played a bunch of close games. It's going to come up. It happens. And saying you're not going to be sensitive about it and not being sensitive about it are two different things. It's easier to say than do. But really, that's also something you have to learn. So, he and I talk about it a fair amount. So But I know he cares a lot, and he is absolutely attempting to do the right thing. And I believe in him. So.
Believe in him now is that you hired him?
Yes.
Do you assess Brandon Whedon as the quarterback of the future? Are you, you think you're leaving these guys with their four franchise quarterbacks?
I think so, Mary. I really do. I think Brandon's off to a good start, in my opinion. He's an excellent passer. I like how he leads. You know, people don't cut him quite as much slack because he's 29, but he's still a rookie. And this is his first crack at playing against NFL teams, and it's different than college. So I think he's done very well. And I just think there's a bright future because I think the organization has found their quarterback.
Mike, what's next for you?
You done? Depending on where I am, the weather, I'm going to ride my motorcycle a lot. Perhaps go to the beach a little bit, go to Hawaii. I don't know. You know, I'm leaving it open. I'm leaving it open. You know, I said this was my last great adventure. I thought it was going to be longer. And so, you know, I we'll see what happens.
Could you be in football again?
Yeah, I would think so. But right now I'm just trying to – I want to take one step at a time here, one day at a time. My first goal is to – if I can, is to help this team and these coaches – this season. Then I'm going to sit back and catch my breath and look around a little bit and see what happens.
Do you have one more coaching stint in you?
I don't know. I don't know. I know this. I've learned a lot of things in the last 3 years. And one of the things that I thought I knew, but now I'm sure, I do miss the coaching part of it. I really do. So,
serious thought to coming back maybe after Eric or something?
I thought about it, Tony. I did, and I think I had mentioned at the time I asked when we were compiling the list of candidates. I asked Tom, the selection committee, the guys who were involved in that, Heckert and those guys. I said, you don't have to say yes, but tell me tomorrow. You know, should I be on the list? I asked them that. And I don't know if they were afraid. I don't know if they were afraid to come in and say, are you kidding? Old guy like you, you shouldn't be on that list. But they didn't. And so, but then I also gave me a chance of that evening to think about it a little bit more. And I did what I did.
Like close game after close game. Why seemingly does this team just not know how to win when it comes down to making the plays that they need to make?
I think you have to learn how to win those. And until you do win a couple of them, it's hard. Because you, whatever's in the mind of a player, whatever's in the mind of a coach, you're human. And you start to go, here we are again. You know, and you want to say, let's, you know, we're going to win this close one. But until you start doing that a little bit, it's not as easy as you think. When you do, if you have the talent and you get to do that a little bit, that's when the momentum changes. And that's when you start winning close games. And that's when it takes off. And I think we're like that close. We are that close. And I know it's hard. I know it's frustrating when you lose a close game, but when you start winning a couple, then you go into the huddle at the end of the game and you go, we're going to do this. Everybody on the sideline, everybody in the huddle, you might not always do it, but you believe you're going to do it. You know, the classic example to me was the Super Bowl in 88 when we beat Cincinnati in Montana. The 49ers, we got the ball on the 8-yard line with something a minute to go. There wasn't anybody in that huddle. There was no one in that huddle that didn't think, okay, we're just going to go do this. But they had won a lot. And so that'll happen. That will happen. And but it's hard. It's hard right now. I feel my heart breaks for those guys because I know how hard they're working, and it's so close. Heck, we're a catch away or a yard away from winning a couple ball games this year. You know.
This is the exact perfect place to ask this, but it's a little friendlier environment here. Is it at all possible you've changed your position on the playoff tickets?
You know, Pat, I'm glad you brought that up. No, it's, you know what, Neil and I were talking, we're kind of doing a little bit of prep for this, and he goes, you know, someone's going to ask you about that. Someone's going to ask you about that. You didn't tell me it's going to be him. You know what, and I will say, you know, I choose most often not to look back in this business. I think it's a healthy thing to decide not to do that. But on that particular issue, I will say, I broke Holmgren's rule number 5 that day because I came into the press conference and I was mad. I was angry. I wasn't angry at you guys. I was just angry at the situation we were in. I just met with the league attorneys and doctors and all this stuff, and it was just, I kind of saw where that whole thing was going with the way it was going. So I came in here, and it wasn't my proudest moment. And when I said that, I apologized to you. You know, I shouldn't have said it. And I pride myself on having more poise than that. And I didn't. I snapped. So because I've confessed this to you, may I phone you for tickets when the time comes? May I do that?
You may, but I can't promise we have the same connection.
Thank you.
Couple more questions, guys.
I don't know if you realize it because you took a little bit of time before you actually got into town. That here's this guy that, you know, Super Bowl winning coach, you know, Hall of Fame discussion someday. Do you think the fact that you weren't able to see this thing through will hurt that? Do you care?
Well, I think there are a lot of things out of your control. And I think, I'll analyze not necessarily that specifically, but I'll analyze the excitement. I was excited too. I mean, this was a great opportunity for me. And in talking with a lot of folks, and at times with some of you, there was some feeling that I'd coach. I think some of the excitement, I could be wrong, but some of the excitement of people I've talked to is that I was going to coach. Name myself head coach and off you go. And I didn't do that. And then what I learned is, as the president, what happens on the field on Sunday, you have no control over. Really, you're just watching. I'm watching like you're watching. Whereas when I was coaching, I always thought there's some way I can fix this. I can get this going the right way or. That's just the nature of the job. So I'm glad people were excited. I was excited. I feel bad that we weren't able to deliver more on the field while I was here. But I also feel, I honest to goodness feel that there is good times ahead soon. And I'll be rooting hard for this group from wherever I am in the next couple years, because I think it'll happen.
Over the last 3 years, there was a lot of criticism thrown at you for effort or amount of time spent in the president's position. Is that criticism fair, and where do you think that came from?
I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. I don't think it's fair. The only thing that I've changed about the way my work day is when, and she's going to get mad at me for saying this, but when Kathy had her cancer, I changed, as I was coaching at the time. Even then, I changed my work day. Instead of coming in early, we have a routine. You know, we work out together, we have a cup of coffee, we have a little devotional in the morning, talk about it, and then I come to work. I'll stay later, but in the morning, that was my routine. There are a lot of coaches that come in. I have good friends that come in early, 5 o'clock, you know, It's just how I chose to do it. And I always thought if you have really capable people that you've hired, then anything between 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock, if they want to get up at 5, they can handle it and talk to me about it at 9 o'clock. You know? So my effort, I don't know where that came from. I don't think it's particularly fair. I have never slept at the office as a coach. I always try to get home for dinner at least later in the week. Now, early in the week, you're working late. But later in the week, I try to get home. I have four daughters, and I try to get home for dinner with them and check out how they were doing. And that's how I chose to do it. So, but when I was here, 100% of me was here. Every part of me was here. And so I don't feel I have to apologize for anything that way.
Mike, when you were also, you said a couple minutes ago, you gave Eric a chance for the 2010 season. After that didn't work out, do you regret not naming yourself coach?
Now, you know what? You make a decision. I thought about it. If I just carelessly did one thing or another without thinking about it, then you might be able to say, well, you know, maybe. But I thought a lot about it, why, what I was willing to do, what I wasn't willing to do, who I thought I could hire. At that particular time, I wasn't ready to do it again. I didn't want to do it. I thought I'd be shortchanging the organization. And so it's not that I didn't think about it. I did, but it's, and then I made the decision and boom, full speed ahead.
Kind of allowed to sort of define your own job. That's at least the way it seemed to us. Am I correct on that?
I think so. That's fair.
It's always easy to look in the rearview mirror and say, do you wish maybe it was defined a little more for you?
I'm sorry?
You wish maybe there was kind of, there are more parameters around, okay, this is exactly, maybe not exactly, this is sort of what we need you to do, as opposed to Mike just come in there and figure it out?
I don't know, Tony. I think if I were to change anything, it would be one of our last press conferences together where I told you I got the feeling that people wanted me to be more out front and visible and talk about stuff, even though I wasn't the coach. And I had reasons. We've talked about this before. I had reasons why I didn't do it, but I was going to do it. Okay, I heard, I listened finally, and I was going to do it. And if that might have been one thing that I maybe would have done differently early, if that's, but I didn't know, I really didn't know that that's what was wanted, one. And two, I didn't want to in any way overshadow the coach. That didn't make any sense. It still makes no sense to me at all. He's the coach. It's his football team, really. Let me help him. And so I thought I was doing the right thing. But in retrospect, maybe if I could have been out there a little bit more without stepping on anybody's, getting anybody real sensitive about anything, maybe I would have done that.
Hey, Mike, when you said several times you think this team is close to being good. Do you think you bring it, new people get brought in, wouldn't that be a setback? Isn't there a concern that there could be a setback if new people are brought in? And
I think anytime you have change, dramatic change, you know, you all of a sudden any momentum you had moving forward probably stalls just a little bit. Probably. I think it's natural. And then how fast you can get rolling again and moving. But ultimately, it's about the players we have. I think we have some good young players. I believe we have a good core. We're getting a bigger core. If they can deal with the change and they can deal with whatever, then we can continue moving. I think from a player's perspective, you see it all the time in the league. If you have, you've written it, some of you have written it, I'm sure. You know, you talk about a quarterback, you think it's pretty good, whomever. then you say, but now he's in his third coordinator in 4 years, you know, or words to that effect. So you go, it's not quite working the way we thought, but, you know, that's kind of a reason. But that's real. That's real. So the teams that are most successful have a continuity to them on their coaching staff and in their organization. And I heard Joe Banner say this the other day, and I've heard Jimmy say it. They agree with that, too. They agree with that, too. It's kind of like, when do you start that? When do you start that? And so I think, yeah, the more continuity you can have, the better chance you have of moving forward with the people you have.
Mike, Will, last one. Over the last 3 years, how would you define your tenure with Brown?
Well, I think we fixed a number of things in the organization, which, you know, if we wanted to just list some things, I could do that and feel good about it. The our one loss record, which is what football teams exist for, hasn't been good. And say what you want to, and I think there have been some unusual circumstances, but it hasn't been very good. And I would hope that if the current team and what we've built so far now has some success moving forward, I hope people feel a little bit better about our time. Because I think it's been a 3-year period of fixing things. And unfortunately, we haven't, some of those close games that were mentioned earlier, if we could have won half a dozen of some of those close games, it'd be a little less painful right now.
Because you've said things are starting to come together, to know that finally it's starting to show maybe results, not in the one loss record, but on the field, and yet now you're not going to be a part.
Yeah, that's... But you know what? If and when the team does well, like I said, I'm going to be its biggest fan. And, you know, I've won a lot of games in this league as a coach. And I feel good about those. Lost some that were tough. I will feel good. I'll feel good and be happy for whoever's here. I'll be happy for you guys. Some of you are really crabby all the time, you know. I'll be really happy for you. And then I'll be happy for the owners, the new ownership. I'll be happy for the players, the coaches. I'll feel good about that. And you think maybe you had a little something to do with that. Maybe we all had a little something to do with that. So, but I'll feel good about that.
Mike, you hear all the time
about coaches saying they want to end things on their terms. The fact that you didn't get to do it here on this, does that make you more compelled as you go out to find something that, whatever it is, that you can kind of end it on your terms and kind of walk out of your career with a good feeling?
You would certainly hope so. I'm not sure who gets to do that. I think that's everyone's wish. But I'm not sure how many people get to do that. So I'm going to just catch my breath a little bit at the end of the season. Like I said, I think Kath and I are going to go someplace where it's warm and those little drinks with the umbrellas in it. And then just kind of think about what the future is all about. I think that's fair to her, certainly. I want to make good decisions moving forward.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.